Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are now discussing about Yudhishthira. The Pandavas, after living their 12 years, decided to enter for their 13th year into the kingdom of Virat. They told their servants, headed by Indrasen, that they should go to the kingdom of the Yadavas and stay over there. The Pandavas had discussed their plan confidentially so that no one would know about it. And you can tell them that one day Yudhishthira told Indrasen that you should tell them that one day suddenly the Pandavas disappeared, not telling us where they were. And then he turned towards Dhaumya and offered his respects and told him that you can go to the kingdom of Drupada, and there Drupada will maintain you properly with respect. Thank you for your services. We will meet after the period of the war. And when the Pandavas were about to depart, they had already discussed earlier and made a plan. Yudhishthira, when he was discussing, he said that as per the promise of Dharma, blessing of Dharma, we will be protected, but still we should take precautions. No, that means that whenever there is some blessing, that blessing doesn't mean that that blessing is not a license for responsibility. The Pandavas took adequate caution. So how will you disguise yourself, O King? The Pandavas asked Yudhishthira, you are such a regal person, how can you hide yourself? So Yudhishthira said, I will be like as a Brahmana named Kanka. Yudhishthira knew that Duryodhana might again challenge him for a gambling match, and he wanted to be prepared. So while he was in the forest, the different sages had different skills. So from a sage, Rishiparva, he had learned actually about gambling, and he had become quite an expert gambler. He had no intention to gamble to lose wealth again, but if he were challenged again, Yudhishthira had learned from his mistake, and he had ensured that again he would not commit the same mistake. He knew that if we challenge, he would not be able to refuse, but he was determined that now he would not be cheated or outwitted and defeated and dispossessed as had happened in the past. So he said, I will go to the kingdom as a Brahmana named Kanka, and I will serve the king as a Brahmana serves, and I will also entertain him by playing dice with him. And when they asked Bhima said, I will be an expert cook. Vallabha. Bhima is Vrukodara. He is a giant appetite. He loves to eat a lot, and he was also an expert cook. So he said, I will serve in the kitchen. And he turned towards Arjuna, was famous. Arjuna was the greatest archer. He said, who will you be? And Arjuna had been cursed by Urvashi when he was in heaven that he would become a eunuch. And Indra had said that this blessing will turn out to be good for you. He said, I will use that, I will act as a eunuch, and I will be named Brihanalla. I will act as a dance teacher for Virata's daughter Uttara. Pandavas were amazed to think that that epitome of virility and manliness, Arjuna, he would become a eunuch. How inconceivable were the ways of destiny. Nakula said that I'm good at taking care of horses, and I will become a person who takes care of horses named Granthik. And Sahadev said, I will become a cowherd. I love to take care of cows, and I have observed and learned a lot about them, and I will take care of them. And my name will be Tantripal. And this way Yudhishthira knew that each of them had to maintain their disguises. So he allowed them to choose, and they all chose according to their interests. Then we see the individuality of the Pandavas. Although there was unity, but there was also individuality, and all of them were united and under the guidance of Yudhishthira. But Yudhishthira gave them abundant freedom. Then they turned towards Draupadi, and Draupadi said that I will become a Shairindri woman. Shairindris are a class of maid servants, and no respectable woman would ever become like that. So no one will suspect me, and Virata's queen is the Sudeshna, I will serve her. Now for a royal lady to become a servant, a maid servant of a royal lady was quite a could have been quite a denigrating thing. But Draupadi was so chaste and so determined to serve her husband's whatever be required, that she was ready for this. And then the next day, Yudhishthir, the Pandavas decided not to enter simultaneously. One by one, they decided to enter. So Yudhishthir went straight into the palace. Because he was a Brahmana, he was allowed entry immediately into the palace. And the Pandavas had grown long beards. That's how their identity was not immediately apparent. They had lived in the forest and they had performed austerities also. Just living in the forest itself is austerity. So they had also become lean. That's why it was not easy for anyone, even if those who had met them, to recognize them easily. So when he entered, he went straight in the throne of the palace, and then he told that I was a Brahmana who had served Yudhishthir and I would like to serve you now. And the king was expert, and just by seeing, he understood this was such a qualified person. He said, I'm honored to have you. Surely you can be with me. And when he heard that he was expert at dice, he said, yes, you can entertain me by playing dice. And you will be my counselor, and you will travel with me on my own chariot, and you will live in my own palace. And in this way, all the Pandavas started living together. So after that 1 year got over, we'll discuss about the stay of Virat when we talk about Bhima and Arjuna. And then finally, when they were detected, when the 1 year got over, then the Pandavas revealed their identity, and Uttara, Virat's daughter Uttara, was married to Arjuna's daughter Abhimanyu. And then after that, they sent a message. None of the peace proposals worked. Yudhishthir was so eager for avoiding conflict that he said that I'll be satisfied even with 5 villages. But Duryodhana was utterly adamant, and then finally war became inevitable. Now earlier, Yudhishthir had told Bhima not to fight, that we should not fight a war, but now he became ready for war. Why was that? Because earlier, the path of duty required him to stick to his promise that I will stay in the forest for 13 years. Now he had stuck to his word. Now in any relationship, there are words given by different people. So if two people have given, both of them have given their word. So he had stuck to he had honored his word, although it had been extremely difficult for him to do that. But the Kauravas, they had failed to honor their word. And the Pandavas, they did not even want the full kingdom, although at one level they could have said, the full kingdom is what is ours. But if not at least half the kingdom also not, they are ready to be satisfied with 5 villages. But when that was not possible, then there was no alternative left. So they had to accept. And then they accepted, they had to fight a war. And when the war started, then just before the first day of the war, Yudhishthir got off his chariot, took off his armor, and started walking towards the Kauravas. The Pandavas were shocked. They also got up and started, Yudhishthir, oh king, what are you doing? The Kaurava soldiers started jeering from their side. And they said, this is a coward. Seeing our great army, Yudhishthir has lost courage, and he has come to beg for a peace pact. But Yudhishthir walked on, unmindful of the calls of the Pandavas, unmindful of the jeers of the Kauravas. He went straight to Bhishma and he folded his hands and he sought his blessings. Oh, venerable grandsire, it is you who have been like a father for us and have always protected us. Before we fight this war, I seek your blessings. Please bless me. Bhishma, tears came from his eyes, seeing the humility and nobility of Yudhishthir. And he said, oh king, I am touched by your blessing. If you had not come to seek your blessings, my blessings like this, you would not have been successful. But you have come for blessings, I bless you. And ask for some specific blessing for me. I cannot fight from you, but whatever you want, I will give you apart from that. So Yudhishthir's tears came from his eyes. How stern were the duties of a Brahmana, of a Kshatriya, that they had to fight against their own loved ones. He said, oh grandsire, how can we be able to overcome you? Because without overcoming you, we will not be able to win this war. So Bhishma said, the time is not yet come. Come to me another time and I will tell you the answer to this question. And similarly, he went to Drona. And Drona said Drona was also said, if you had not come, inauspiciousness would have come to you for not seeking blessings from your elder. I will bless you. What can I do for you? And then he said, please tell us how we will be able to kill you. overcome you. It was a very difficult thing to ask from one's elder, but such was the duty. And Drona said, I cannot be overcome in war. But when on hearing an untrust, hearing a false news from a trustworthy source, I give up my weapons, then I will be overcome. So here, all these elders, they gave ideas about how they could be overcome. They're touched by Yudhishthira's humility. Kripacharya also blessed, and he said that, I cannot be defeated, but go ahead and win the war. He said that he did not have knowledge of celestial weapons. So although he would be undefeatable, but he would not be a major obstacle. And Yudhishthira also went to Shalya. Shalya was his uncle, he was the brother of Madri. So he sought his blessing, and Shalya also said that, I am touched by your, I will do what you want. And actually Shalya had been tricked to fight against the Pandavas. He had come when the war had started to come by the side of the Pandavas only to fight. But along the way, Duryodhana had made wonderful arrangements for hospitality. And Shalya was very pleased by it. And he said that whoever has done these arrangements, I am extremely grateful to that person and I will give up my life for that person. And he told the attendants, please call Yudhishthira and tell him what I ask him what I can do. And the attendants looked bewildered, and Duryodhana, he had been just waiting for such an opportunity, and he came forward. He said, O king, it is I who have made these arrangements. I'll be very grateful to you if you can fight on my side. Now the Madras king realized that he had been duped, but he had given his word and he couldn't go against his word. So he said, I'll come to your side, but let me go and meet Yudhishthira. And he had to meet Yudhishthira, and he told dejected what had happened. Yudhishthira was also disappointed that his uncle was fighting against them and not for him. But he said, you have to honor your word. But nonetheless, I request you one thing. And what that one thing was, we'll discuss when we talk about Karna. And Shalya also blessed Yudhishthira, and then they came back and they started fighting. So here we see Yudhishthira's nobility, how he kept his virtuous conduct still going on throughout. And then just before the war started, again Yudhishthira called out. He said, all the warriors here know that our Kaurava side feel that that they would like to be on the side of virtue. Then come, we will welcome you on our side. So at that time, Yudhsu, who was the 101st son of Dhritarashtra, born through a maidservant. Gandhari had a very long pregnancy, and during that time, Dhritarashtra had united with the maidservant and Yudhsu had been born. So he said, I want to come on your side. Will I be welcome? He says, come. You will be the saving grace of the Kuru dynasty and you will perform the funeral rites of all the other Kauravas. And through this open defection by one of the Kaurava brothers itself, Yudhishthir, he demonstrated his moral superiority. First, he demonstrated moral superiority by seeking blessing. Secondly, by pointing out to all the Kshatriyas that his side was righteous and getting one of the Kauravas himself to come on their side. He raised the morale of his side and decreased the morale of the opposite. Now, whenever there's a team, the team has to feel good about themselves. Now, about the cause that they stand for, about the leaders that they are working with. So Yudhishthir was such a virtuous leader, and he attracted everyone he attracted so many kings towards him. And those who were on his side, he attracted them further. Now, we may wonder, how were there 11 Akshahunis on the side of the Kauravas if Yudhishthir was so virtuous? Yes, he was virtuous, but it was nearing the start of the age of Kali, and there were vicious kings also at that time. And normally in the material world, those who favor quick gains through vice are greater in number than those who want gradual gains through virtue. And Duryodhana had been at work very vigorously, not so much in taking care of the citizens, but in forming alliances. Duryodhana had no intention of giving the kingdom, and he had worked strategically, meeting various kings and forming alliances. That's how he had developed good relationships, and in the absence of Yudhishthir, the gurus had become like the emperors of the world, and few could oppose him. So the alliances which had been formed, they had become quite weighty, and that's how he had 11 Akshahunis. But despite the superior strength, Yudhishthir had superior moral strength, and he boosted the morale of his team by this. And then the war started. We discussed the first 10 days of the war, and how Bhishma wreaked havoc, and how Yudhishthir was demoralized at the end of the first day. But eventually, Krishna reassured him. And then when Drona took command, at that time, Duryodhana asked from him the benediction that, please arrest Yudhishthir alive so that we can gamble. I can challenge him to gamble and defeat him and send him to the forest again. Little did Duryodhana know that Yudhishthir was prepared, that Yudhishthir knew how to outwit Shakuni at his own game now. But not knowing this, he wanted to have Yudhishthir arrested. And the Pandavas decided that we will protect. So Arjuna was the person whom Drona said, I will not be able to defeat him. On the 11th day when he failed, he said that he had to get Arjuna out of the way. So Susharma and the Samsapatakas challenged Arjuna. And on the 12th day, he came almost close to arresting Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir fought fiercely, but Drona destroyed his chariot, broke his armor, and he would almost have arrested Yudhishthir. But then Drishtadyumna and others, they came and defended. And somehow Yudhishthir was saved at that time. On the 13th day, again Arjuna was diverted and the Chakravyuha was formed. So when the Chakravyuha was formed, only Abhimanyu was the warrior. He was the only warrior available, because Arjuna had already gone to another side, who could penetrate the Chakravyuha. Now Abhimanyu was just a 16-year-old boy. How could Yudhishthir possibly engage him, risk his life for the sake of protecting his own life? But Yudhishthir knew that this was not just a matter of protecting his life. The Chakravyuha was such that if it was not countered, not only would Yudhishthir be arrested, but thousands and thousands of soldiers would also be killed. And the whole war could end in one day if the Chakravyuha was not checked. And moreover, when he approached Abhimanyu and asked him, can you penetrate the Chakravyuha? And Abhimanyu told that I was in my mother's womb. Actually, that's how he had got that knowledge. And I know how to penetrate into Chakravyuha. So Bhadra had been hearing this. How? But then she was never going to fight. So she was not interested. She nodded off to sleep at that time. And then Arjuna had told only how to break into Chakravyuha, not how to come out of it. So because of that, he says, I don't know how to come out of it. I go inside and I'm not able to come out, I'll be trapped. So Bhima had also come. And Bhima said, don't worry, if you just break inside, then we will follow you and we will also enter into Chakravyuha through the breach that you have created, and we will destroy the Chakravyuha from inside. When he was assured in this way, Abhimanyu immediately agreed, and he marched into breaking the Chakravyuha, breaking it apart and charging inside. Yudhishthir, Bhima and the other Pandavas followed. But unfortunately, Yudhishthir had no knowledge of Jayadrath. Jayadrath had got a benediction that he would be able to check all the Pandavas except for Arjuna on one occasion. He had got his benediction from Shiva. And Yudhishthir found that all of the Pandavas fought fiercely, still none of them could break through Jayadrath, and Jayadrath stopped all of them. And the Chakravyuha closed and Abhimanyu was trapped. And eventually, after a fierce fight, when the Kaurava's victory conscience started blowing, Yudhishthir understood. Whatever his greatest fear had come true, that Abhimanyu had died. And Yudhishthir was devastated. And how will I be able to face Arjuna? What will I tell that I send his son to the slaughter? He says, what great calamity has come upon us? At that time, Narad Muni came over there. And that sage instructed him. He told him that there are very great living beings in this world, but no living being, no matter how great, can overpower the law of death. There were many virtuous kings even before Abhimanyu, and even they had to succumb to death. So, but although death cannot be avoided, What is important is where one goes after that. Abhimanyu has led a virtuous life. His life was short but glorious. And he has met the end of a great warrior. So he shines even now in a glorious abode of everlasting happiness. He says, as compared to the fortune that he has attained, those of us who are in this world, it is we who are unfortunate. Instead of lamenting his plight, we should lament our plight. Because in this world, even if we are living a path of virtue, this is a world of temptation where one can be dragged away from virtue at any moment. But Abhimanyu has attained an abode which is beyond the arena of temptation. And therefore, do not lament for him. And then Yudhishthir heard from the sage about how so many great kings, all far greater than Abhimanyu, had also met with death, but cannot be avoided. He says, the will of the Supreme Lord is inscrutable. But if you follow it, in due course, you will understand how it is for your good. And hearing this wisdom, Yudhishthir was consoled. And how the revenge was taken for Jayadrath's brutal conspiring in killing Abhimanyu, that we'll discuss when we talk about Arjuna. But then, again on the 15th day, Drona fell on the 16th, and after 10th day, Karna had come in. So on the 14th night, Ghatotkach fought fiercely and eventually was killed by Karna. And at that time, Karna used Shakti weapon. Again, Yudhishthir got very angry. And he said that wretched Karna, you know, he has killed our beloved Ghatotkach, who was like a son to us, Bhima's son, but he was a son for all of us. And he had served us so well nicely. And he had, that Suta's son also had a role in Abhimanyu's killing. Arjuna is meant to kill him, but he has not done so. I will kill him today. And Yudhishthira charged forwards. As he charged forward, Krishna became alarmed and told Arjuna, oh, you should not let the king fight against that Suta's son. Stop him. Go and challenge Karna. So at that time Vyasadeva came and he told, O king, do not become impetuous. Do not become impetuous. No. He had the Shakti Astra, Karna, with which anybody could have been killed. Now that the Shakti Astra has become exhausted, now Karna, his might has become much lesser. And in just 3 days, just 4 days from now, you will become the king of the world. Do not lose patience. Do not act impetuously right now. And then Yudhishthir became calm down. So Yudhishthir, you know, he was very responsible and considered his dependents. He considered himself the protector of the dependents. Although he did not have as much military prowess or skill as Bhima or Arjuna had, but still he had the determination to do all that he could to protect those who were under his care. And then on the 17th day, there was a fierce fight. On the 16th day, Karna became the commander, and somehow there were fights among many people. Karna wreaked havoc, but there was no fight with Arjuna. 17th day, Yudhishthir and Karna met, and Yudhishthir fought fiercely, and he matched Karna arrow to arrow, and he stunned Karna by his attack, and Karna swooned, amazed by the skill. Karna had always been very contemptuous of all the Pandavas. He knew that Arjuna was a formidable archer, but he had thought that others are easy. But Yudhishthir overpowered him. Karna finally gained consciousness and he was furious. And he vomited his full wrath on Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir fought as heroically as possible. But Karna's archery skills were far superior. And he shot arrows and destroyed Yudhishthir's charioteer, horses, and Yudhishthir's armor was also destroyed. His bow and arrow were destroyed. He tried to take new bows and arrows, but even that he could not take. He took new bows and arrows, but Karna was breaking it all. And Karna was flaunting his superiority. Yudhishthir, realizing he was helpless, he had just got off his chariot and withdrew, going towards another chariot. Karna taunted Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir was wondering why Karna is not killing me. He was expecting one arrow will come. Now he was defenseless because there was no armor on his body. But Karna, having given a word to Kunti, did not kill. But Yudhishthir felt utterly humiliated. He was wounded, he was battered, and humanly mortified, and he withdrew from the battlefield. And when Arjuna got the news that Yudhishthir had been wounded by Karna, he marched towards Karna to fight and take revenge. But Krishna told, first you should go and see the king whether he is all right, and then you can come back and fight. In the meanwhile, Karna, by fighting with others, will also get exhausted and you will have a better chance to defeat him. So Arjuna went to Bhima and asked him whether he could take care of the army in his absence. He said, I'll go and see the king. Bhima nodded and he said, yes, I am also worried about how the king fares after he has been wounded so badly by the Suta's son. So, and then Arjuna withdrew. And here we see the first major conflict that happens within the Pandavas. Bhima had once exploded on Arjuna, on Yudhishthir in the gambling match. What could have become a disaster happened between Arjuna and Yudhishthir at this point. We will discuss that in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.